Corinthians and Ephesians walking in the highest of callings, and it's very similar to the high call of the church. And specifically, we're going to be looking at the role of the church. And as we do that, we begin with a question. Here comes the church, the question. Because I think, honestly, we are confused at times about what the church really is. And so let's just take a look at some of the basic things. The church comes from a Greek word called ecclesia. It means a calling out. So think about a call out assembly of citizens. So this Greek word infers the fact that the church is a group of citizens that are called out from the normal activity of citizenship, and they do something different, something more specific, something elite that other citizens aren't doing. The word ecclesia was especially created and coined for the church in the first century. So it referred to the community of the redeemed of Christ, whether they are on earth or in heaven or both. So the church is not just a facility of the earth, but it's also a congregation of heaven. So being part of the church, being part of the redeemed, means they're part of the church on earth, but they're also part of the church in heaven. Now, notice the specific thing here that we've got written is that the church, when it's written in the New Testament, is used only of people. It's not used of a location or a structure. So whenever you see the word church in the New Testament, it's not referring to a building or a place or a gathering. It's always referring to a group of people who have been called out, redeemed by Jesus Christ,
acknowledge that the distraction to you, to be right there with them forever. They're going to see why they're nothing and things and jump up and worship Jesus. And here comes some of the incredible news of the church. So this morning, as we take a look at this passage, I'm hoping that this passage in Ephesians 6, I'm not going to start there at all. The church is the body of Christ. One of the reasons we don't quite understand what the church looks like is we don't realize that the Bible refers to the church in two different formats. It refers to it as the church, and it also refers to it as the body of Christ. So let's get a picture first of what the body is. The body is the shell, is the flesh and blood and bones that contains your spirit within. The body is the spirit that has to live within your body. So not your body that is part of the shell, the decision that defines who you are, that your spirit within. So that's why when someone dies in action, graciously donates an organ or something that's changed by someone new, that person receives the organ doesn't change their knowledge. Because our body is just the flesh and blood and bones and nerves, but the spirit is contained within. So that's what a body is. So in the Bible calls the church, the body of Christ, it's saying that we are the physical outside covering that the spirit of God lives within to accomplish the goals of God down on the earth, as well as in heaven. So let's look at the biblical references. See that Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23. He put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So just as our head has a heart, as a body has a head, and that's the thinking that helps our spirit actually accomplish what we want to accomplish, the church has a head, and that's the same as the spirit of God is in us, and the head of the church body is Jesus Christ, and he works through it. He accomplishes his goals through that. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. So there's only one body. We're not some different bodies. Cornerstone Church is the body, and then Grace Chapel is a body, and then the Presbyterian Church is another body, and the Methodist Church another. Those are properly reborn the Lord Jesus Christ, that are the redeemed, meet in several different locations, but are all part of the same body that worships Christ, to which he is the head. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint of which it is equipped, that each part is working. So that is, the whole body works as long as each part is working alongside of it. I discovered that on Friday when I decided to meet the asphalt on my run. And I tried the knee, but the knee's over and the leg went to the knee, as you remember. So we went over there. But I discovered that the elbow is involved in the running. It's really involved in the falling. In that case, so when I just tripped in the middle of the road for no apparent reason except for getting tired, I decided instead of face planting, I would shoulder plant and ended up elbow and knee planting. But suddenly now, my elbow, which I thought had nothing to do with my running, reminds me that, oh, that hurts when I run, and the knee especially talks to me now as well. So you can't come into the church, and in your mind, you think to yourself, it's interesting, but this didn't meet my knee, and that didn't meet my knee, and that didn't happen along the way that happened. So you feel like you're kind of experiencing an incomplete body. But it could be because you are the part to help that body become complete. Your involvement in the church that you're feeling uncomfortable in could actually be fixing the missing part. And so that's why said that in verse 16, from the whole body, joining and held together by every joint of which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. Ephesians 5:30 says we are members of his body. So we can see that the Bible, this is just from Ephesians, I'm sharing verses from throughout the scripture, especially in the New Testament, the word body, and that's over and over again the reference to the church of Jesus Christ. So just as our body has an earthly head that kind of calls the shots, by helping the spirit come from the left, and the same thing happens with our spiritual body, the church. And just as our head deals with the nurturing of the body, so when my elbow and knee hurt, my head tells the rest of my body what to do to help it hurt a little less, so if you don't do that again, pay attention when you're running and bring your feet up a little higher. As it talks to me and provides nurturing, the head of the church does the same. Jesus is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, saying that. That's the Word of God saying that Jesus nourishes and cherishes the body of Christ. And you are part of that body that means he nourishes you and he cherishes you. That's a blessing. That's a good life. In fact, he cherishes you as a husband does a bride. Ephesians 5:23. The husband is the head of the wife, and as Christ is the head of the church, his body is himself its Savior. And so Christ takes on the role and responsibility for the church. Because that himself is the one who saves the church. John 25, these husbands love their wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. So Christ loves the church, sacrifices for the church. John 27, so he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. Some people choose not to be involved in the body of Christ and think, I'm not good enough, I'm not right enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not perfect enough, I make mistakes, I'm not. I've got a lot of blemishes. What if they find that all out? And if they find that all out, which we probably will, we'll say, welcome to the family. Welcome to the body of Christ. None of us got where we were by cleaning ourselves up. It says here that it's actually God. It's actually Jesus who presents the church to himself without spot or wrinkle. He presents the church holy and without blemish. So you are part of the church, part of the body of Christ. He takes your blemishes. Don't unhold this verse box. He does the cleaning. Please do not try to get your act together before you get involved in the church. Don't let that be an excuse to keep you from coming on Wednesday night or getting involved in the issue. Well, as soon as I get this part solved in my life, then I'll start cleaning because I'll look better. I'll be a better leader. If you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful and just to forgive you for your sins. Cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Boom, you're prepared. You're prepared to come on a Wednesday night, come on a Wednesday morning, serve in a children's church, serve in a woman. And as you rely on Jesus, the head of the body who nourishes and cherishes you, to clean you up, take away your blemishes, and present you to himself for the next one. He's willing to do all the work that he also cares for the church. So all we can see, he takes care of the church, where the church derives from the idea that we're the organism of the living God here on earth. Let's now find out what the church does. So that changes the question mark to an exclamation point and say, here comes the church. Here's what the church does. I think you'll be a little surprised by what our own goal is. If you stay with me, I'm going to read verses 6 and chapter 3 and then 10 to 13. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, and then drop down to 10 to 13. As mystery is, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and members of the same body, but takers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Drop down to verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose of his realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence for our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is for the Lord. And God bless you in this world to be received. Heavenly Father, we come before you and pray now as we specifically take a look at the church and the role of the church for you. Open our hearts and minds to understanding exactly what we are to accomplish. And may you clarify for those that are not part of the body of Christ and give them a heart's desire to be part of that. Those that are part of it, may have a heart's desire to increase their involvement based on understanding of what the purpose is for them. Verse 6, Ephesians 3, the mysteries of the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body. Now, what we're going to look at here is the amazing idea that a Jew and a Gentile would come together to accomplish the same thing. But we need to look at that as an analogy for all of it. There is no ethnicity, there is no race, there is no barrier that would keep one individual from serving alongside another individual. God brings enemies together. In fact, that word same body, it translates to the word that we don't have, but it means home corporate. 2:15, it says, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, he, Jesus, might create himself one new man and put the two, so making peace. So when we become cold and thoughtful with those around us, we don't come as people who are enemies who don't go around, don't even like each other, and suddenly we just kind of shrug our shoulders, tuck our heads, and get the job done. The idea is that God has taken away our anger, our frustration, he's taken away the enmity that's between us, and he's done together as one. So we work together as brothers and sisters, excited about the common goal. That doesn't mean that we don't struggle with each other and occasionally have bad feelings, but because we're no longer enemies, because we are family, then we work through those issues with the power of the Holy Spirit. The main barrier is the drop, and then it's Christ who brings us together at the common goal. And also said that we are partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. That word partakers literally means accomplices in a plot. And I love that. They're accomplice in a plot. There's kind of a mystery to them. There's no mystery involved. It basically means that together we come forward to accomplish something. And that will subversive to the rest of the world. And that is that thing that God will accomplish. That is the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That is the promise of salvation. It's the promise of the end to all bitterness between races and individuals. We, when we come together, it's the body of Christ to work the things that the Spirit calls to our head to challenge us to move to. We are accomplices in a plot to fulfill the promises of God. We are coming forward to tell others about salvation, to tell others about the ability to be reconciled to Jesus Christ, to be reconciled with each other. We do have a plot. We do have a plan. And it's amazing, can we? It comes up if we talk about verse 10. And by the way, 7 through 9, Paul comes into the side and explains his role in the church and presenting all this. We talked about this last week, so I'm just going to move us down to verse 10 now. Verse 10 says, but so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And so, we take a look at the church is going to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. What is that? Manifold means many and various. So, in other words, that God's wisdom has been many and various throughout the ages. It has been presented in many different ways, continues to accomplish many different things. God is not just wise in one area. At the core of the market of economics or engineering. He is wise in all things. His wisdom is manifold. It covers all subjects and all things and all things. God has manifold wisdom. It's not just for a certain kind of time. From the beginning of time, which has no beginning to God, to the end of time, which has no so Jesus introduces the church. And you're obviously the last thing to demonstrate his manifold message of Christ himself comes back. And so Satan's got one last chance to mar the manifoldness of God. And so that's the church. And so you can't be surprised if the church is a group of people goes astray at times and follows wrong leaders and gets involved. And misrepresents God because Satan is going to continually try to mar the manifold wisdom, but the true church of the redeemed continually come out shining and walking with Christ. And that shining on earth, that shining in the world and realms of heaven. Because the head is Jesus Christ, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit who lives within him and accomplishes the task of God on the earth. And now it is the church's struggle. And it's our turn to display the manifold wisdom of God. Look at verse 11. This was according to the eternal purpose that he was realized in Christ Jesus. So this wasn't like plan C or D. Okay, well, the Adam and Eve thing didn't work, and the nation didn't work, and the Jesus on earth wasn't quite like God's vision, so let's try this church idea. No, God's eternal purpose from the very beginning is to work through all of these entities to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. So it's the church's turn. It's our turn. So I ask you not to lose heart of what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. And in Paul's statement, he is trying to give them encouragement because as he has preached to them and shared with them and taught them, that's why a letter is arriving to them while he is in prison. So look at that. These thoughts they have are all this great talk about the kingdom of God and the body of Christ and all the word that we're going to go. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. clear statement that you are the Christ and you are the Son of the Living God. And so as the church keeps our eyes focused on Jesus Christ as the Son of the Living God, as they walk with him, as they obey him, as they listen to him, as they allow him to act as the head, and the Spirit flows through them, and they may be the physical representation of him, we need to talk about the buildings. Now, there might be setbacks, and there might be, you know, chips on the door, and broken windows here and there, but ultimately, the gates of hell will not come up. Now, let me just talk to you, and I would like you to picture something. But Jesus' picture of gates of hell, that you are standing in one of two places. You are either on the side where you are a member of the body of Christ, or you are on the other side. You are in hell. The gates of hell kept you out. You don't have any between. You don't have to wait. Hold on. I'm not calling you into the church and the member of the body of Christ, but I'm certainly not walking with Satan. The Bible doesn't give you a little highway. It doesn't give you a highway between hell and between heaven. It's not like the gates of hell, there's the highway. Aren't too sure where they are, and then it's heaven. They're either in the gates of hell, walking with Jesus, or you're behind the gates of hell. And my prayer for you this morning, and my prayer for you this morning, that as you see this, you will probably know where you're at, and then not trying your own power to get out of the gates of hell, because you can't do that. You have to ask for Jesus Christ to cut you out of that. You have to ask him to forgive you for staying so firmly in the gates of hell for so long, in your own sin, in your own selfishness, in your own desire. Thank you. giving gifted people to the church. And when we say gifted people, they're not special talents, they're not, you know, super people, you know, just a chosen few. It just means God has gifts, certain things to people, and says, "Well, I'm going to choose one for yourself, and then you'll serve someone else with it." So God uses those people in the church to encourage others to go and do the same. So God will give gifted people to you to help you walk with them. Outside of the love of Christ, either A, because you're not a believer, or B, because you're a believer but hasn't got involved in the body of Christ, so you do have missing out. See, the longer you are actively and consistently involved in the body of Christ, the more you understand the world. You can observe a family kind of from afar, and you can visit them, and then you leave that day, and the kids can be able to talk on and on about how much daddy and mommy love them. That you will feel love because you've been part of it. So you can't just stand in the line and experience and comprehend the love of Christ. You've got to be involved in the aspects of the family. And see that the things the church does is characterized by the love of God. And then you can see Jesus moving through it. That is what the church is. And that's what you can be a part of. A fear of earth, but also help. Sure.